Grace, mercy, peace be unto you from God our Father and from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text, the gospel lesson read just a few moments ago. And just think of those words when they said, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us. You know, when Paul was dictating one of his letters to the church in Corinth, the Holy Spirit inspired him to create a short list of the people who saw Jesus alive after he died on the cross. And here's what he said in 1 Corinthians 15. I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. And you know what? Those words remind us that there were hundreds, perhaps even thousands of people who saw Jesus alive after he died on the cross. I'll be honest, these accounts were not like modern sightings of Bigfoot or UFOs or Elvis. You know, when you see those, they're always those shadowy, grainy, out-of-focus images that could be almost anything. These are accounts of people who actually had conversations with Jesus, who touched Jesus, who ate with Jesus. These are not the accounts of people who saw things out of the corner of their eye. These are not the results of wishful thinking. The Apostle Paul indicates that there were many accounts of the risen Lord. So many, in fact, that there wouldn't even be room to record them all. But why did the Holy Spirit inspire the evangelists to include these particular accounts? I mean, today's gospel comes to us from the gospel according to Luke. And Luke's accounts of the resurrection, well, they begin early in the day with the witness of the women at the empty tomb. And then there's the account that we heard earlier of the two disciples en route to Emmaus. In today's gospel, we heard Jesus speak to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And he said, "Oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And it says, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them all, in all of the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And today's gospel, it even tells us that Jesus, he hid his own identity while he was explaining the scriptures. And while they were talking and discussing together, it says Jesus himself drew near and he went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. Do you understand? Jesus at this time hid his own identity, but he explained to them the scriptures. You see, as far as Jesus was concerned, it was more important for those disciples to understand the resurrection based on the word of God. More important than for them to understand simply because he was there with them, and they got to see him in the flesh. And so the Word of God is very important to Jesus. I mean, Jesus scolds those two disciples for failing to believe what God's Word clearly said. He said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer all of these things and enter into his glory?" You see, Jesus understood that the Bible is not hard to understand simply because it uses difficult language. It's hard to understand because it says things that we don't want to believe. Supposedly, Mark Twain said, "It ain't those parts of the Bible that I can't understand that bother me. It's the parts that I do understand." Let me ask you, what would happen if Jesus walked with you and he talked with you? Would he say the same thing to you, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken"? Well, I know that I am still foolish. I know that I'm slow to believe. But what about you? I mean, why is Jesus so stern? Why is he so insistent that we believe the Word of God? Because Jesus knows that the Word of God is the power of God. Jesus isn't insistent about God's word just to give us something to do, but he's insistent about God's word because it is the power of God unto salvation. Do you understand? The word of God is how God gives his gifts. And yet it seems very natural for us to ignore God's word, or to hear it improperly. And when we, I mean, think about it. When we hear in God's word that we broke the universe with our sin, it's natural for us to think that we can, or that we need to fix it by not sinning. Our human nature desperately desires a way for us to set things right, to make our own way back to paradise. I mean, doesn't it make sense to us that good, loving people go to heaven and cruel, evil people go to hell? It makes sense to us that we should be able to improve our own moral character so that we can make ourselves worthy of heaven. And so when God's word tells us that we are all cruel and evil, when it tells us that we can't save ourselves, then we want to ignore it. And we want to complain that it's just too hard to understand. When God's word tells us that Jesus took the blame and the punishment for our cruelty and evil, we often judge that that's just too good to be true. And we want to insist that there's something that we must do in order to earn our own salvation. But Jesus is not going to let us get away with that kind of thinking. He taught those Emmaus disciples that the entire Old Testament is about him. It says he began with Moses and all the prophets, and he interpreted to them all of the scriptures, the things concerning himself. He showed them how the Old Testament proclaimed the suffering, the death, and the resurrection of the Christ. And so Jesus teaches us, you and me, that there is a single theme throughout the Bible. It's like a scarlet thread winding its way through all of the passages of Scripture. And that scarlet thread is Jesus himself. He teaches us that we haven't learned the full meaning of any passage in Scripture until that passage teaches us something about Christ crucified and risen for the forgiveness of sins. You know, Jesus said that the Emmaus disciples, that they were foolish and slow of heart because they didn't believe in that scarlet thread of Jesus in all of the Scripture. And I also have to confess that I don't see Jesus as quickly as I should when I read the Bible. And therefore, I'm also foolish and slow of heart. How about you? And you know, Jesus doesn't say that to be mean. He says it so that you and I would know about the salvation. He wants you to know about the salvation that he has earned for us, that he has earned for you with his suffering and his death on the cross. He says it so that we would believe in him and would live forever. And he wants us to know the word, because it is through the word that we know him. And it is through him that we have salvation. And we know that eventually Jesus revealed himself to the Emmaus disciples. They arrived at their home. They invited Jesus to spend the night. And as they reclined for the evening, we're told that Jesus took on the role of host. He took and broke the bread and he gave it to them. And then it was then that they recognized that this was none other than Jesus risen from the dead. And then just as soon as they recognized him, he disappeared from their sight. I mean, it's interesting. Don't you find it interesting that they recognized Jesus in the breaking of the bread? For we also today break bread. You see, our Lord Jesus has given us a very special meal using bread and wine. And he promised that when we celebrate this meal according to his instructions, that he will take up residence in that bread and wine, that he will come to us in his very body and blood. And in a way that's similar to the Emmaus disciples, we also recognize Jesus in the breaking of the bread. And so our Lord Jesus, he comes to us in his word. He comes to us after his word falls on our ears. And he comes to us as that word combines with the bread and the wine of the Lord's Supper. And in each case, Jesus is revealing himself to us. He is with us today, just as he was with those Emmaus disciples. We have his promise. And by his promise, he also grants us forgiveness and life and salvation. Amen.